everyone. Welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Danielle, and that's right, you are not hearing Al's voice, because that guy left us alone like a fool.
Well, not that guy.
No, not that guy. I mean, that guy is an Al, the guy I was just talking about.
The guy
about.
That usually is not, talking right now.
Not that guy.
Right.
A different guy. Yeah, so he left us alone and let us bring on our own guest that we chose, and we cannot wait for Miss Liz.
Hello.
To join in our awesome conversation. And of course, we have Dan, the producer.
Hey, everybody.
So today we are not doing one big topic like we typically do. We are going to try out a This Week in B-Rolls because so much stuff is going on. It's craziness out there. But first... Sorry, I had to pause because Dan just put up an awesome picture of Liz up on the screen.
I always put pictures of our guest stuff.
So we should put
But I was not consulted in the choosing
of course not.
Of this picture.
I look through everybody's Facebook page and I find the geekiest photo I can find.
It's beautiful.
And all of your photos were so glamorous. I had to find the one with the bird sitting on your head.
You dug deep for that one?
I did.
Nice.
Yeah, no need to explain. It's fine.
I love it.
So, anyways, before we get into our This Week in B-Roll, I just wanted to talk a little bit about some feedback that we've gotten from last week's episode.
Ooh.
First and foremost, there were at least two votes, and the votes were that Al won the debate on Harry Potter and the Time Turners.
You can count me as a third.
I will go back and claim fangirl. I don't care. I love it. And that's all that matters. But we did get a few suggestions on some movies that we want to check out, or maybe you've checked out already. Our friend Travis, I think he's been on the show. He mentioned Primer, which he said was a little creepy. So I'm definitely checking it out. A friend to the show, Brad Petrino Esquire, our resident legal counsel, mentioned from 1980, The Final Countdown, and also blasted us for not mentioning The Edge of Tomorrow, which is one of his favorite time travel movies. A gentleman listener by the name of Chad called us out for not talking about Time Cop. Which I've never seen Time Cop. So.
Oh, Time Cop is great. I mean, in that horrible Jean-Claude Van Damme kind of way, it's amazing.
And then a listener to the show, Jeffrey, said if we are really interested in seeing something about robot overlords, that we should check out the manga Battle Angel Alita. Hopefully I said that right. So if you're into anime and robot overlords, he said that's a really fun story. And then I did want to mention that Professor Stone fiercely defended Tron by reminding us that Tron was the very first movie to use graphic effects,
right,
which is really cool. And Brad totally lawyered us on Looper. And I can't even get into how amazing his arguments were. You have to go to our Facebook page, find last week's episode, and read his comments. Because holy crap, he lawyered us so good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out. I haven't seen Looper yet.
Yeah, I mean, all of his comments were legit. I still have my opinions. But no, he totally was like, he put us in our place and... And we appreciate that. So thank you, everyone, for chiming in, giving us some suggestions, some movies to check out.
Also, not quite a This Week in B-Roll subject, but we did want to mention that the Apple versus the FBI has been settled.
Yes.
Because they got into the phone. I don't know how, but they got into it, and they're dropping the case.
So I would just like to point out to you guys that Apple has not only proven that they don't give a crap about the law... Well, I mean, they weren't getting where they wanted to with the case, and rather than waiting for it to get settled, they just went ahead and found a way into the phone. Like, that's kind of...
But it shouldn't have been Apple's job to do that.
Oh, I think I misspoke. I didn't mean Apple doesn't care about the law.
You meant the FBI.
The FBI.
There you go.
Sorry.
Is the FBI not the law?
No, they are the law, but they don't
care
about the law. Like, they just do whatever they want because they are the law. Which I think is messed up. It's just like when a cop is driving through an intersection and they put their lights on so that they don't have to wait.
Al's going to love this.
Drives me crazy.
He's going to love this part of the show. It's going to be great.
All right. So let's not talk about that anymore. Let's get into our This Week in B-Rolls.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Our first one, a spoiler-free review and et cetera of Batman versus Superman. Now, we all saw it.
Yep.
And Dan, you, I would say, were the most fanboy walking in, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I kept on saying, I was very cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It turns out that it was basically based on two of my favorite DC comic story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say any more than that because it's going to get spoilerish if I say the name of those story arcs.
Yeah, so. you guys are killing me with this whole spoiler free.
I know. It's hard. But, I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. It was like Zack Snyder on 11. You know, he turned it all the way up. And it was very, to me, self-indulgent from him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was parts I loved and there was parts I didn't really love. I thought that the resolution of their conflict was way too simple.
And I thought it could have been simpler.
Even simpler than that?
I felt like they could have cut out 30 minutes of that movie just by someone walking in and saying XYZ rather than the 30 to 40 minutes that happened. Trying to not give it away.
Well, it is called Batman versus Superman.
Right.
I mean, that was kind of supposed to be the
like
meat
the whole
and potatoes
movie.
Of the movie.
Okay, so Liz, what did you think?
I thought cinematically it was great. I thought it was a great movie. I thought the acting was fantastic.
Absolutely.
I will say that.
I love me some Batfleck. He was awesome.
Batfleck was
Batfleck, is that what they're calling him now?
Since he was cast.
I thought you may have just coined that. I was going to give you credit for that.
Oh no, I can't take credit on that.
Let me tell you the personal opinion. Jesse Eisenberg can't stand him. By the end of the movie, I was such a fangirl. He turned it out.
Oh, he is an amazing actor.
He was so good. And I would even, if your viewers, if your listeners comment on anything, I'm going to say this and they're going to hate me for it, but he was almost at Heath Ledger Joker caliber with that character.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
I might not go that far, but I appreciate it.
So my personal opinion, I think, like the listeners might remember, I wasn't exactly jazzed, but I was going to go see it because, you know, it's my job. And also Jason Momoa, who was on the screen for
like
all of
0.4
seconds.
I think I told you that he was going to be.
Yes. Yes.
There is.
And it was, don't get me wrong, it was a beautiful moment. It really was. I overall was entertained. However, I feel like there was a lot of there were a lot of storylines that started out and could have really gone somewhere, and then they didn't flesh it out. They didn't finish them. They didn't go anywhere with them. I felt like it actually could have been two separate movies.
Uh-huh.
Again, without giving away spoilers. But I will totally agree with you. Jesse Eisenberg stole that movie point blank for me. Like, he was so amazing in that movie. Like, I looked at my husband and I said, he is now one of the greatest actors of our generation.
You'll have to ask. I actually went to go see the movie with the other Dan, and we're sitting in the theater and get to the scene where we first introduce his character, and Jesse Eisenberg comes on the screen, and out loud in the middle of the movie theater, I literally went, ugh. But then by the end of the movie, he convinced me. I was impressed.
That was an incredible performance of his. All of his little tics and everything. His delivery, he was flawless. I really, really enjoyed it. But I think what I've discovered about myself is that I prefer more like character development and plot development.
There wasn't a lot of that.
And there was a lot of action without. Okay. And also, can I just mention, first of all, I'm going to buy a Jeep.
Yeah.
But that Jeep wasn't even out when the Man of Steel was around. So the fact that Ben Affleck is driving that Jeep is a little bit dicey.
Unless
they time traveled.
Well, unless the Man of Steel movie was supposed to take place in the not too distant future, being 2016.
No.
Yeah. Why not? Because that makes this movie current.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah.
It can't be right.
They it didn't totally have makes
the,
sense.
They didn't have the Jeep then. I call shenanigans.
That's your complaint.
Yeah. No,
of all the things we could complain about this entire movie without giving away any spoilers, it's the
Jeep. By the way, and Zack Snyder has come out and said, is it Zack Snyder? Did I get that right? Who did this one?
You would know more than I would.
I think it was Zack Snyder. Anyway, the director came out and said that he's shocked that more people didn't guess the big spoiler in the end of the movie just based on what he showed in the previews. Because...
Wait, what was the big spoiler?
But I think that they did a great job of leading into the next movie, which is what this was all about. Mm-hmm. It was Dawn of Justice. It's the launch point for the Justice League.
Well, and can I tell you that the big surprise at the end doesn't even matter because everyone, like, it's already been changed because of future movie posters.
Right.
So I just want to put that out there for those that have seen it. Mm-hmm.
But that goes with the comics anyway, so it's all good.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
It all works out.
Anyways.
Things and stuff.
So,
but they have said that Aquaman, which I believe is the next one that's going to come out.
I will watch it.
Is going to have a much lighter tone than Man of Steel and
like
Dawn
it.
Of Justice.
I like it.
And I think that Wonder Woman is going to be straight up 300 with women.
So the darkest, grungiest actor that they have playing Aquaman is going to be the lighter movie?
Yeah. Khal Drogo going light.
Yeah. Hey, I don't care. I will watch it. But let me tell you, Gal Gadot, man, she is something, huh?
Yeah, she did well.
She did awesome.
I liked her.
But again, another thing, I think that they could have fleshed out a lot better.
Yeah, they just kind of teased
her storyline and her...
Yeah.
Origins. Like, I just.
She got a lot more screen time than Aquaman, but not that much more character development.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, where'd she come from? Who is she? We don't know.
I think a long time ago.
That's all we know.
I mean, obviously, this movie. It just seems like. We all know. Everybody knows that there is a Justice League movie coming.
Right.
We get it. That's why this was made, essentially. And to me, that's probably my biggest complaint with the movie is that for a versus movie, it seemed like there was less of that and more of we're setting up this franchise. And it's like, we understand that you're competing with Marvel. We understand that you're competing with the Avengers, but just let it be great. Let DC be great for what it is.
It felt rushed. It felt to me like the entire production was rushed. When
Which
they
is
announced
ironic
that it was happening.
For a three. Oh, well, yeah. I thought you meant like the pacing of the movie.
Well, that too. But it just.
3 hours long.
When they announced that the movie was coming out and when they started production, it was like overnight.
Yeah.
And it feels like they rushed the production, they rushed everything.
Yeah. I feel like they could have done a better job, but overall it was entertaining, and it doesn't make me say, like, I'm never going to watch a DC movie again. It's just making me a little bit more cautious. I think when it comes to cinematic universes, I tend to fall on Marvel. That's all.
I think, and I've seen a few people say this online, but I really think that Zack Snyder just really doesn't like Superman.
Yeah, he was not painted very nicely in that movie.
He hasn't the whole time that he's had the character, you know? And I loved Batman. He was awesome.
I think he kind of brings a more realistic approach to it, though, instead of Superman just being this all-powerful, all-wonderful, like, oh, Superman, come save me. It's like, no, he does things, and his actions have consequences, and we don't ever really talk about that. Like,
yeah.
Stop using your laser eyes to wreck people's buildings, maybe. Maybe you should think about that.
Maybe
Superman.
You shouldn't have laser eyes. Like, maybe that's something you should look at. Maybe there's a doctor.
I don't think so.
That could take out your laser eyes.
Bad idea.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so let's move on to our next topic. So Microsoft created this AI. And the whole idea of it is it was to develop language for their customer service bots, basically. And so they created this AI that would speak like a teenage girl on Twitter.
Sorry, well, I can't even like think about this without laughing, knowing where this story is going.
The problem is that artificial intelligence learns from actual humans.
Yeah.
And actual humans are terrible.
But they're not, horrible, not just, horrible things.
Not just actual humans. Actual humans on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
Aren't even better. So within 24 hours, she learned... She went from the human race is amazing to Bush caused 9/11, Hitler was right, and everyone should have sex with their
daddies.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they took her offline. She is now tired.
Shocking.
Hopefully they're going to fix this. Yeah, and they've actually been blasted recently for being sexist because they were having some sort of like launch party and they invited, well, not invited, they hired a bunch of girls to come to the party wearing very little clothing, which is not, I mean, that's not really something you should do like as a company.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, do you disagree with me? Dan's like, I would have gone.
I was just waiting for the bad part.
Yeah, girls in bikinis. And then what happened? Yeah.
I mean, was it a themed party? Was there a reason? Like, was it a luau party?
I don't know. I didn't do that much research on the actual party. I just know that Microsoft has recently been in the limelight for being called out sexist. So then they made this teenage girl AI who is all like, I'm going to have sex with my dad and get rid of the Jews.
Because, you know, I DJ corporate events all the time.
Oh,
sure. And like, they'll have the naked girls with sushi on them. At a corporate event all
the
time. Yeah,
and I don't think that that's, like, necessary.
Probably not necessary, but popular.
How about this? If you're a company as high profile as Microsoft, maybe don't have scantily clad women at your parties. Unless they're, like, your attendees and they just happen to want to wear that.
Okay.
You know?
Were they performing? I don't understand.
Maybe what, do you, what do you think,
I have
Liz?
Just too many questions.
I don't know, because I think the whole scantily clad women, because it puts the women in such a bad... Well, I guess it's not the women, but it's the company hiring the women. Like, your issue with it is they're forcing them to wear this. Not forcing, but, you know, they're hired specifically to be sexy and to wear little clothing and be...
First of all, I don't have an issue with that.
Okay. No, not an issue. But
I worked at Hooters once for like 5 minutes, okay? My issue is that Microsoft is a very high-profile company, and so doing those kinds of things...
Like they're using sex to sell Hitler-loving sex robots?
Exactly.
I don't understand the correlation here.
I don't either. I'm just stating what the article said.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Al, don't ever leave us alone again.
Anyway, let's just move on to our next topic here.
Yes.
This one was Liz's favorite of the week.
Yeah, Liz, why don't you tell us about
this
one?
Oh,
this
is excellent. So this is a necklace, a wearable. It's a necklace that has been developed that allegedly can tell what you are eating by the sound of your chewing.
Which... is disgusting.
Just the grossest. Just so gross.
Especially for someone like me. Like, I cannot stand to hear people chewing.
Oh, it's the worst.
So the fact that there's going to be a device that actually listens for that. Now, okay, don't get me wrong. I love wearables. We've all talked about it. I have my smartwatch. I have my Fitbit. I love my wearables. And actually, on Shark Tank, I saw that there was a company that came out with a plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the plate has, like, a bunch of cameras and will take pictures of your food and then scan it in and tell you what the caloric content is based on the pictures that it took. And no one took their deal because it's like way too far from being ready. But I think that people generally feel a very strong need for counting calories without actually counting calories. Like, we all want to diet without actually dieting, right?
I will say...
Well, I do anyways.
Well, yeah. Well, we all want to eat you know, an entire pizza and
every day.
But is this necklace going to choke you if you're trying to do that?
No,
that
would be... See, here's my thing. Here's
the only deterrent
for me. I think this is excellent. I think this is great because we have our Fitbits that count our steps and monitor our heart rates. And, you know, you do the little celebration buzz when you get your 10,000 steps. And it's great. And that's amazing. I need this necklace to either... You know, yell like it needs to be connected to earbuds that go fat, fat, fatty, fat, fat when you're eating something that you shouldn't be eating, or it needs to shock you.
Oh my God!
When you're eating something that you shouldn't be eating,
it just starts oinking.
Okay. See, I can't have that because here's why. And I would really appreciate it if my husband could just turn the volume down for a few minutes. He doesn't hear me saying this, but. I want my Swiss cake rolls, and I don't want.
Well, that's
anyone...
when you take the necklace off.
I don't want anyone telling me that you shouldn't be eating Swiss cake rolls. And no, Chris, I don't eat Swiss cake rolls.
Or
all
just,
the time.
Or if the necklace just has that really condescending voice, like, "Are you really sure?"
I love how you'll just eat anything.
Oh my God.
It's just so great that you already had your daily caloric intake and you're just going to go ahead and drink that milkshake.
You just really
so
feel good about
you.
Yourself, huh?
I think it's really honorable that it's past 8 o'clock and you're going to eat that entire bowl of ice cream without any possibility of those calories being burned before you sleep on them. Good job. You're so brave and honorable.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to want to actually wear this thing.
No.
But my favorite thing about the entire article was going through, they actually have sample sound bites of the sound
bites.
Of cookies.
See what you did there.
Oh, I'm so funny.
Yeah, it said it said it only is like 84% accurate right now because
yes, they said they have an issue with apples and carrots.
Okay.
No, they said they don't have an issue with apples and... Oh, maybe they... Well,
they're so
cream,
similar.
Ice cream and oatmeal.
Ice cream and oatmeal. So you could
yeah, those
be
are two different
really
things.
Healthy or not.
Yeah.
So, but they sound the same when you eat them. So.
And can it count... But it can't tell if you're eating, like, low calorie
Danielle,
versus high calorie.
You are right. While chewing an apple sounds clearly different from a carrot...
Exactly.
Other foods are harder to distinguish. Ice cream sounds similar to oatmeal.
Yeah.
Because I think that eating either one of those things is just...
Which, by the way, eating oatmeal is disgusting. So, I'm just kidding. If you like oatmeal, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me how to eat oatmeal. That's what I want to know. I want our listeners to tell me how to eat oatmeal so that it tastes good.
Make a bowl of oatmeal. Throw it in the garbage.
All right. So, moving on. Game of Thrones. There is a new season 6 trailer that has dropped.
Squee.
And Liz is actually going to be our resident Game of Thrones expert. Mm-hmm. She has read the books.
I know that no one can see me, but I am.
How many times have you read the books?
I am actually on round 5.
Wow. Holy.
And wow. I just, and that's the thing, is I don't want to be that girl that's like, well, actually, I read the books before they were popular. But I did read them a very long time ago.
Okay.
Before they were popular.
You're so cool, Liz.
Well, I wasn't when I read them the first time. But now, all of a sudden, Game of Thrones is super cool, everybody.
So, yeah, the trailer looks really awesome. It definitely shows us where they were going with some of those storylines that they totally just, like... plopped on us at the end of season 5's finale. So
now, I've heard the producers have said that season 6 is not going to spoil the new book.
I've heard.
How is that possible?
It's not possible unless they're. It's not going to spoil the book because they're going
in a completely different
off
direction.
Book. If yeah. this is when they first announced that they were going to be doing the HBO show, I was split down the middle. Half of me was very excited because, oh my God, they're taking this thing that I love so very much and they're going to turn it into an awesomely produced show. And then I thought about
all of the
other shows that have been converted from books, from novels, and I went, oh crap, they are going to ruin everything that I love.
How have they done so far?
So far, I think they've done a good job, and even the things that, because there have been many things that have been changed.
Right.
Many storylines that have been changed from the book, and I understand why. Because the books are, I mean, there's so much going on, and there's so many, I mean, each book, if you look in the front, or, I'm sorry, in the back, it's either the front or the back or both, but they, I mean, there's indexes of every single character, what house they come from, because you can't keep it all in your brain. You can't everything that they throw at you and all
and the names
different...
are crazy.
No,
well,
yeah.
Let me tell you, when we watch the show, like every time they come out with the new season or whatever, I have to relearn all of the names because you forget all of them. My cousin, however, every time a season ends, she starts over from season one, episode one, every year. So she knows.
That's commitment.
She knows the names because she's seen season one now 5 times or 6 times.
Oof.
And she's seen season 2 5 times and season 3. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, she's seen them also many times because every time a new season is coming, she starts from episode 1. And good for her.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that in my
house.
Seriously.
Thank you.
How do you do that with, like,
but
jobs and stuff?
But I'm jealous because, like, she knows all the characters' names. And, like, I'll be talking to people and I'm like, yeah, you know the guy. He did that and he did this. And, like, sometimes I confuse their names. Or sometimes there's a character that has a proper name and then their nickname. And sometimes they're mentioned by that. Sometimes, you know, and so it's, like, keeping it all straight. Like, the one I'm thinking of specifically, the one that is with Sansa right now, what's his name?
Littlefinger.
But that's not his real name or something. Or
That's his nickname.
Baelish, Lord Baelish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter Baelish is
Peter
his name.
Baelish.
Littlefinger is his childhood nickname.
Right. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like keeping all of that straight for all of the characters. And every season they introduce new lands and new people and you have to keep it all straight. And
okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
At the end of last season, Khaleesi was taken away on the dragon. Do you know where she is?
Yes, and also no.
Well, she's
the what we have read so far does not go too far past what you saw at the end of last season,
right?
But it doesn't really go much farther. So we'll probably find out in season 6.
Okay,
and it seems like. So this is where I disagree with them saying that season 6 isn't going to spoil the book, because it absolutely is, because where Daenerys's story ended in the last book, and if they do anything further than that in the next season, then they're giving away what has not yet been released in print.
Didn't we already see that she's with the Dothraki people?
We saw a bunch of people on horses, but they didn't say that they were Dothraki.
Well, I thought, like, they recognized her, so we were... I was assuming...
Doesn't necessarily have to be Dothraki, though, because remember how...
They could have just seen that she was flying on a dragon and was like... And so they're worshipping her, you know?
Oh, I thought they were threatening her.
I don't know.
I thought they were threatening her at the end of that season. All right.
Well, this is giving a poker face over here. She's like, I know a little bit. I don't know everything, but I know a little bit, and I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Well, thank you.
Well, we're keeping everything spoiler-free, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
No more spoilers.
Anyways.
But.
All right. So next up, Microsoft. They a while back, they demoed their HoloLens something or other.
Uh-huh. I love how prepared we are this week.
We're doing a great job, guys.
Al is listening right now going, oh my God. Well, anyways, so there's a story on our Facebook page about this. And the most exciting thing that I think came from the story is that if you have like a few $1,000, you can buy the developer kit for the Microsoft HoloLens.
Oh.
So you can develop your own holographs.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I can have Tupac dancing on my dashboard anytime I want?
Pretty much, yeah.
It doesn't just have to be Tupac, though.
But what else would you use it for? Right? If not Tupac, then what?
Jason Momoa.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
But you can't touch it, him. It. That's not fair.
My son would love to have this for Minecraft. He'd go bananas for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, think of all the, like, Minecraft real... Not real life, but, like... Holographic. I don't know.
So the HoloLens is basically it's similar to.
Do you actually know what you're talking about?
To a degree.
Oh, okay. Keep going. Keep going.
It's similar to the virtual reality goggles that we've got for other things like the Oculus Rift.
Okay.
But instead of being goggles, it's more like a headband that goes around your head. There's lenses that go in front of your face, and it makes it appear as if there's a hologram in front of you.
Right, so it doesn't put you in a virtual reality type atmosphere. Right. It
makes you feel like you are,
it though. Adds things to the real world.
Right, augmented reality.
Okay. So you could create a holographic bowl of ice cream and pretend to eat it, and then the necklace would never know.
But it would hear you going, don't forget.
But why would you do a holographic bowl of ice cream when you could just take the necklace off and eat a real bowl of ice cream?
I didn't understand it when I was saying it. I don't know.
It's fine. So HoloLens. Anything else on that, Danielle? This was yours.
No. Well, technically, Al was the one that was like, oh, you guys should talk about this.
Okay.
So. Okay. Now we're mocking the absent host. He's never going to let any of us back on the show.
All right. So.
Well, you could use your HoloLens to pretend that you have a dinosaur in your living room.
So they found a pregnant T-Rex.
What?
And, well, they found fossils of it.
Gotcha.
And it may.
That makes more sense.
It may contain DNA. Which obviously means that they're going to start cloning dinosaurs and Jurassic Park is real.
No.
Yeah, that's what happens.
No.
No, I mean,
if any scientists are listening, no. No.
So, I mean, I don't know that they would actually use it to clone, but, like, we're going to learn a lot of really cool stuff about dinosaurs because of this actual DNA that they found. So, possible DNA. We don't know for sure.
What they found was a bone that happens in birds basically when they're about to lay an egg.
Medulla.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this also shows that the production of the eggs in dinosaurs was basically the same as modern birds, which is just another connection in the evolutionary path.
We don't talk about evolution on this show.
Oh, oops.
That's political.
Is it? I thought it was scientific.
It's
ooh,
a little bit of both.
But in any case, yeah, we're learning more and more, and hopefully we don't clone it, because why did it have to be a T-Rex? Couldn't have been
seriously
a Triceratops?
I still think it's too big, and it has horns.
Or a Stegosaurus.
Yeah.
Did no one watch the movies?
The Stegosauruses aren't going to hurt anyone.
I know, but it's just, they're big and they're scary.
Right.
Okay. What if it was a Velociraptor? They're not that big.
No,
that's those terrifying.
Are the worst. They're not that big. I'm just saying. She said it's big and terrifying.
It's bigger than a kangaroo. Those are big.
A Velociraptor is just not as big. It's just terrifying.
It's just, you know, the most vicious killer
ever.
And very intelligent and can open doors and work in groups, packs, if you will.
We know that from that documentary, right?
Yeah, the documentary, Jurassic Park.
That very realistic documentary.
Where the best part of the movie is when he gets eaten off the toilet, right?
That's the one. That poor man.
Anyway, back to the movies. We're all very excited about Star Wars Rogue One coming out at the end of the year. And Marvel has just announced that they are going to put out a 3-issue prequel series and a one-shot. So basically 4 comics that are going to be prequels leading into Rogue One, bringing the whole Disney thing together.
Yeah, and I was gonna point out the whole Disney thing. Disney now owns like 90% of most people's fandoms.
Yeah,
so
they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
But also the writer of Rogue One is also writing Star Wars Rebels episodes right now that are going to be the end of this season. So I think the Rebels might lead into the comic, which would then lead into the movie.
But the Rebels is the cartoon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure, because I don't know.
Yeah, and that takes place between the prequels and episode 4.
Okay. So tell us exactly, for those of us that have that don't have a ton of knowledge of Star Wars, what exactly is Rogue One?
Rogue One is going to be the first Star Wars movie that's not about a Skywalker.
Right.
It's the first part of it becoming a fuller universe. And in Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope, they talk about the plans that they got during their first victory against the Empire. And that's what Rogue One is. It's that mission, to go get the plans to the Death Star so they can blow it up.
But it's not going to have the people that were in A New Hope. Well, obviously, because they're like
Darth Vader
super
is going to be
right
in
now.
It. They've announced Darth Vader will be in it.
Okay,
and
but he's a Skywalker.
And there's rumors that Yoda might be in it.
Yeah, technically Darth Vader's a Skywalker.
Yeah, but it's not about him.
Fair enough.
It'll be a cameo kind of thing.
Is it going to be James Earl Jones?
Yeah.
Okay. I approve of that. I like James Earl Jones.
And Forrest Whitaker is going to be in it, and it's a star-studded cast. They got a great thing going on there. So that looks very promising. And then they're going to get back into the new trilogy after that.
And then I also read in that article that they're going to put out a book, too.
Yeah.
So is that book... The book isn't going to be a graphic novel. It's going to be like an actual...
It's going to be
like,
a book, I believe.
A what?
A book.
A book book.
Not a funny book. Not a comic book.
A funny book.
Not the funny papers.
Not one of those picture books.
No.
Not one of the picture books.
Like a real book. Like one of your J.K. books.
Like one of the J.K. Rowling books. Well, that's cool. So this is all canon now, right?
Yes.
So this is all, like, because they already said Rebels is canon. So the Marvel 3 comics will be canon and this will be canon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that might be important.
Tie it all together.
For people that don't know Star Wars to know that it might be canon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, do you have any comments, Liz?
Okay, so I was not around when you guys did all the recordings of the, you know, when Star Wars came out and you did your episodes about, but I listened.
Yeah.
I listened for a long time listener, first time caller.
She's been here in studio before, though, on the couch.
I have been on.
You were one of our first, well.
I was the first visitor.
Were you the first visitor?
The first guest on the,
on the,
well, not the casting couch, the
hey now,
the visitor's couch,
the brown.
No,
letters.
We moved the studio out of Al's house.
Okay, so back to Star Wars.
Okay, we're tangenting. Also, apparently, I didn't know what that word meant. Inside jokes. Our listeners don't understand this. So, my comments on the whole, you know, what is being released now is canon and. At risk of making myself sound like a snob, I read majority of the novels in the Expanded Universe, and I'm one of those that is very bitter about it not being considered canon, but I'm trying really hard to separate it. I saw episode 7. I thought it was great. I really did. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was, after about 30 minutes of stewing and being very angry about everything, I came to the conclusion on my own that it was a good movie, and it was the best movie that the fans could have asked for and expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you can't, there's, you know, dozens upon dozens of novels and extra storylines, and you can't bring that all back. You can't make people who aren't that kind of fan understand.
Right.
So we did make a movie for the masses, and I think that's great. But then there's that other part of me that my heart is like, where's Mara Jade? Where's, you know.
So who's Mara Jade? This?
In the novels, she is Luke Skywalker's wife.
Oh.
Well, maybe we'll find her down the line, though.
Maybe. Yes. We can't get ahead of ourselves because we don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the new trilogy.
He had so much to say in this most recent movie.
I know.
Weren't they kind of alluding to the fact that they think maybe he was gay?
Oh, please, with that.
No.
Okay, I thought I saw that somewhere.
I think I saw something, too. But then, there was...
Somebody asked Mark Hamill if Luke Skywalker could be gay.
That's what it was.
And he said, Luke Skywalker could be
whatever he wanted to be. And I was like, what a cop-out answer,
yeah.
Mark Hamill. Are you gay, Mark Hamill? Mark Hamill, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. And if you're gay, it's okay.
it's okay to be gay.
Okay. What I'm thinking of is Xena, is the new Xena reboot.
Wait, okay. What?
Have you not heard about this? They're redoing Xena.
I didn't hear
Warrior Princess,
this.
And she is openly gay in the new one.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the article that I was thinking about that I read.
Who's gonna play Xena?
Isn't it Lucy Lawless again?
Is it? No.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I think there's like a Xena Jr. or something that she's going to be passing the torch off to. But she is producing it. She's doing the whole thing.
Are you sure?
Yeah. They're both fact-checking me, by the way, as we speak.
Because I don't believe you, NBC.
I will be called many things, but a liar is not one
but
of them.
But yeah, also, Danielle, in addition to these three comics that are leading into Rogue One, Marvel's got a whole series of Star Wars comics right now. There's a Han Solo comic. There's a Luke Skywalker one. There's all kinds of different ones. And those are all considered canon as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, but like, okay, so you said that you read the books. And like I have a friend who his favorite character is Boba Fett, not because of the movies, because in the movies Boba Fett is there for all of 5 minutes, but because of the books, and those books are no longer considered canon. So technically, Boba Fett's storyline, am I right?
Is yeah, not it's canon. It, no, anymore. anything that is, I guess. Considered fan, I guess that's all considered fan fiction at this point.
Right.
It's not canon. It's not recognized. It's
So technically,
Lucas didn't write it. So
technically, at this point, anyone that thinks Boba Fett is their favorite character, he's their favorite character because of fan fiction, not because of canon.
Yes.
Which is like sad.
It is. I mean, a big part of that universe kind of died when Episode 7 was released. I mean, maybe that's dramatic, but
oh, I was wrong. She's not involved. My bad.
We just jumped right back to Xena.
Yeah, sorry.
He just fact-checked himself and found himself wrong.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. It's happened once before this.
But yeah, I think that's sad. I mean, that would be like, I don't read a lot of like other people's writings of Harry Potter, but I could imagine that if something like that happened and I got really invested in it and thought, like, you know, because it hadn't been announced whether or not anything was considered canon, because mm-hmm. that word wasn't really a part of the conversation then. And then all of a sudden someone says, oh, just kidding, we're gonna retcon everything you love and only this is canon. Well, that would be really sad.
Yeah, think about it even in the sense to think about how, because Danielle, you love Harry Potter.
That's not true. I'm obsessed.
Danielle, you worship Harry Potter.
Okay, fair.
trust me, I understand. I distinctly remember the day that I closed book 7 and sat there on my bed and went, now what am I going to do with my life?
I'm rereading. Everyone knows I'm rereading the series, but I just got to book 7, and I'm having such a hard time getting into it because I know
it's almost like anxiety.
I know
like
where it's going, and like I don't want it.
Maybe it'll be different this time. Maybe there'll be another book. But okay, so imagine. So you love Harry Potter so much, and think about those books and that story and those characters that you've created a relationship with, and that you hold these people in your heart, and then someone comes along and makes a Harry Potter movie and goes, those books now. That's not real.
That's not real, Harry Potter.
That never happened. Nope, didn't happen.
I would be very angry because, like, so much of the story that I love is from the books and not the movies.
Right.
So I totally get that. That'd be like if someone said all of the stories that George R. R. Martin wrote that aren't in the show aren't canon.
Yeah.
It's very true. Very true. And,
and there's a lot of that, right?
There's not a lot of that. And like I said, because I mean, we kind of touched on it already, but the whole issue with season 6 and spoilers and are we going off book and are we going off topic? And we've already gone off book. And you know, I said it before, I'm okay with some of the off book direction that we've gone in the show so far, but then there's some of it that I'm really waiting to see what they're going to do with it in season 6 and just in the rest of the show in general, because there's characters that meet in the show that never meet in the book, and to me thus far it does not make sense. It does not make sense to me at all.
So, like, name something that was in the books that they haven't put in the show that you think that they should.
So, oh, something that's in the books that we think that should be in the show. There is a missing character that I think is extremely important, that it has not been added into the show, but he is actually they talk a lot in the books. I don't think they've touched on it in the show, but the Targaryen baby that is killed in the wars. Everyone keeps talking about, you know, oh, yeah, the baby that the mountain, you know, smashes his head against. It's awful. It's the worst. Daenerys's
brother, right?
Yes, little brother. It's supposed to be little brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
so they don't touch on that in the show, but in the book it's a big reveal that whole death was a fake, and that he is also coming for the crown, and he, you know, they think that he is the dragon. Wow. and so you're introduced to that character, and so it's kind of like the whole, you know, you're following the whole story, and you're like, oh, Daenerys, she's the dragon, she's the mother of dragons, she's gonna come back and she's gonna take over. And then you're introduced to her brother, who we assume to be dead and is not, and you know, then it's like, he's the one. But in the show, it's just, we're just like, no, we're not even going to introduce that character.
So do you think
he doesn't exist?
Do you think they could introduce him in season six?
They might. But the way the storyline is currently in the show, he would have already been introduced, unless they're going to go some backwards way. And, you know, meanwhile, in so-and-so, in this part of the world.
Well, they,
where these people are.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't talk about Bran at all, like the last...
Yeah, he was not in season five at all.
Yeah, and they're gonna bring him back, so...
And
by the way, this still pisses me off. Baratheon's bastard has been, like, floating along the middle of the sea for the last, like, three seasons. No one knows where he is.
Right.
He is the rightful heir to the throne. Just saying.
Gendry?
No.
The kid with the bullhorns?
Gendry.
No, the one that was with Arya for a while.
Yeah.
Gendry.
And is that...
He was a blacksmith?
Yes.
Yes, Gendry.
He is the only true son of Baratheon.
True.
But he's a bastard.
It doesn't matter. So are all of his actual children.
Right, but nobody knew that. For sure.
Gendry. He's just a blacksmith.
But he was he was an adorable actor.
An adorable blacksmith. He's just a blacksmith. And I mean, rightful heir to the throne. I don't know.
And they just sent him off in a boat and then, like, never talked about him again.
Does that track?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Is that what happens in the books? He just kind of goes away.
Okay, bye forever. Miss you, Gendry.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I feel like Martin does that a lot in his writing, because he creates so many characters, and then part of me kind of thinks that he goes, oh, I don't know what to do with this person.
Too many people to juggle.
And then they disappeared forever.
Hmm.
And that was the last time we ever heard from Gendry.
So what about with Bran, though? You were about to say something.
Well, what I was going to say is, in the books, it's actually what, it's book, is it 3 and 4 or 4 and 5? 4 and 5 are split. They're written in the same timeline, but because he's gotten himself into this area where he has created so many characters with so many different storylines,
mm-hmm.
Book 4 only follows half of the characters, and book 5 follows the other half of the characters. So in the books, it's very, you know, you're frustrated because you haven't seen Bran all season. I didn't read about Daenerys for an entire freaking book.
Okay, I couldn't do that.
It was miserable. But then you get book 5, and then it's kind of like all Daenerys all the time.
But that's okay.
No, that's great. And book 4 is good, but it's just a lot of kind of like, I don't want to read about you.
If there's 10 chapters
devoted to you.
If I could be honest, if they could just rename Game of Thrones the Daenerys and Tyrion show,
yes!
I would watch that.
No, you need to look up. There's actually like a YouTube video parody, and it's Tyrion and Bronn. And it's like a buddy cop show.
Nice. That's
and it's
great.
And which excellent. One is Bronn?
Bronn is the sellsword that Tyrion meets.
Okay, what is a sellsword?
A sellsword is basically a hired assassin.
Mercenary.
A mercenary, if you will.
Okay. He was the guy with the
kills. He will kill if you pay him to.
Oh, yes, yes.
He's
the one
that's in love with Daenerys.
Yes, okay.
No, not in love with Daenerys.
Oh, wait, no, the other one.
Yeah, no. This is the guy that he's like... He's always got, like, the slicked back hair.
Yeah.
Like, long.
And then he was with Jaime Lannister for a while.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And he's always just, like, whittling or something when, like, Tyrion's like, okay, do this.
Bronn is the one that stands up for Tyrion in the Moon Tower.
Yeah.
He
fights for him when he demands battle by trial.
What's the kid's name that is Tyrion's, like, servant boy that he, like, kind of turns into a man?
Pod?
I like that kid.
Podrick? Podrick Payne?
Podrick, yes.
Yes.
Who is now with Brienne in the show.
Yes. He sent them together. He sent them off.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the show.
Yeah. Not in the movie.
I mean, in the books.
There is
that's another one. Brienne never fights the Hound. They never cross paths. They don't know each other in the book. That's not a thing.
But the Hound and Arya were together in the book.
Yes, okay. And absolutely. They were together in the books.
But did she kill him in the book?
Yeah. Oh.
Spoilers, come on. We can't go that far with spoilers.
Some people
are going to read the book, Danielle.
I'm not at liberty to say.
Well, they saw the show.
Not necessarily.
Oh my gosh.
Did she kill him in the show?
Good question.
Hmm? Hmm?
All right, so anyways, so that brings us to Shameless Plugs.
Yeah.
Yay! All right, well, Miss Liz, as our guest of honor, you get the first Shameless Plug.
Excellent. I would like to shamelessly plug the Orlando Psycho City Derby Girls. We are Orlando's local roller derby league, women's roller derby league. We actually have a bout coming up this Sunday at Cimarron Skateway. Tickets are $10 at the door, so if you're looking for something a little bit different to do and you want to see some girls beat each other up on roller skates, come on out and check us out.
So this is totally random, but I think I went to high school with a girl that plays roller derby, and I'm wondering if she's, like, in your league.
Do you know her name and or derby name?
Well, I know her name. I don't know her derby name. I know her name is Jessica Rutland. It used to be Terry.
Mm. See, that's the problem with roller derby is I don't know anybody's real names.
So what's your roller derby name?
Oh, I currently am a recruit in training. I played in 2011. I don't know if I'll be keeping my former derby name. But
At
the time, I was a pastry chef. So my name was Scream Puff.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Love that.
I played with a friend, and we were both pastry chefs, so she was Cupquake, and I was Scream Puff.
Nice.
So are there, like, different positions?
There are.
So what position do you play?
Well, right now, again, like I said, I'm still in training.
Okay.
Because I have to go through the whole recruitment process again, because I've been off skates for about 5 years. But when I was playing, I was a jammer a lot, which is the one that goes really, really fast and tries to score all the points.
Nice.
So not the one that tries to kill everyone.
No.
What would the Quidditch equivalent be?
Seeker.
Seeker, yeah.
You even wear a gold star.
She didn't even need you to say it.
She knew it. Your helmet.
The one that scores all the points is the Seeker, duh.
Excellent. Well, I will go ahead and plug as always.
What? What are you going to plug?
Oh, well, let's see. This week, I'm going to go with epiceventsorlando.com.
Oh, how are
your one and only source for all your DJ needs.
I have never heard about this company. Tell me more.
Yeah, we do all kinds of great stuff. Next week, I'm doing a chocolate event.
Ooh. I'm going.
I'm doing a chocolate convention.
Let me go. Give me tickets. I want to go to this chocolate
event.
And
it's only for, like, pastry chef types.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
How do I become a pastry chef
to go to the chocolate
place? Let's see. You go to culinary school.
Oh, never mind. This is already too complicated.
They're selling your soul somewhere in there.
All right. I am going to shamelessly plug. There is a game I discovered called Bloons Monkey City. So I have never been into tower defense games. They give me anxiety. I think I've actually mentioned this on the show before. And I happened to be at the children's ER babysitting a friend's kid because her other kid was sick. And he was playing this Bloons game, and I was watching, and I was like, I could play that game. But of course, that game was like $3, the one that he had. So I found a free one called Bloons Monkey City. And I have been so obsessed with this game that I played it all weekend and actually sprained my pinky.
For those of you listening, Danielle is actually wearing a splint
her
pinky right now.
So I was holding my phone, I guess, in a funny way, and held my pinky for so long with so much tension that it is now actually sprained. And I type at work. So yesterday, I'm sitting there typing all day, and I'm like, oh my God, every time I not even use my pinky, but use my other fingers to separate my pinky, it would hurt. And so finally last night, I was like, Chris, can you go get me a splint? Because I think I sprained
this.
You have an app-related injury.
This should have been a B-roll. We should have done an entire segment on app-related injuries.
So,
and what is the nerdiest injury that you've ever...
Well, that's what I was going to say is I want our listeners to give us feedback this time. and tell us, comment on this episode's post on Facebook. Tell us what your nerdiest injury is. Mine obviously is spraining my pinky, playing an app on my phone, playing a game on my phone. So I want to know what your nerdiest.
I don't have a personal nerdiest injury, but I do have a friend that had a. Now we're going way back. To the N64.
Ooh, yeah. I like this.
And my friend was a controller thrower, and so he got so angry. I think I beat him in Mario Kart or something.
Of course you did.
Of course, something dumb, and threw the controller, bounced off the wall, and came back and hit him in the face.
Okay, now that's nice. Funny. Now I don't want to hear about all the TVs that you've broken from throwing your Wii controller. No one cares. What I want to hear about, well, I'm just kidding. I actually really care about your TVs, and I'm very sorry for your loss. But what I really want to hear is, what is the nerdiest thing you've done to your own body? Like, what... I mean, you can even tell me tattoos. I mean, because that kind of sounded weird the way I said it. Dan is over there, like, biting his lip, like, did you really just say that way? Yes, I did. Okay, so, like I said, you can find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/forgeekssake. Let us know what you liked about this episode. We know it was kind of wibbly-wobbly and timey-wimey, as always. And please tell us your nerdiest injuries, and we'll pick 5 of the best nerdiest injuries that you guys tell us, and we'll shout them out on the show next week. And also, you can find us on Twitter at 4 Geeks Sake, 2 S's. And also, as always, make sure you're subscribing and you're telling your friends about our show. And your grandma, I'm telling you, she wants to hear our show. I don't know how many times I have to tell you to tell your dang grandma, but tell her.
And speaking of telling people about our show, big shout out to Stetson ACM for the share. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, they liked our shout out for Pi Day, so they shout out to us.
Yeah, very nice.
Very nice. All right, so that is going to be it for us, guys. So this is Danielle saying, mischief managed.